I will. Yeah. It's dark in there. And so then, as we talked about the front porch and man, that having that door and opening that door, it's time to go inside. Yeah, isn't it amazing? You drive around neighborhoods, you drive past everything, we look in and we see people's house from the outside. It doesn't matter how nice it is, it doesn't matter if the yard is manicured, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. Sometimes it's different on the inside. What's happening inside your house? What do you believe in far in your house? You see, we're going to start here and then we're going to branch out into the bedroom and the children's room and the kitchen. And we're going to be in the kitchen on Mother's Day. That's where Mama spends most of her time. We're going to talk about the spirit of the house. We're going to be talking about, toward the end of May, freedom in the house. Power in the house on Pentecost Sunday. But we start out, we talked about praying and inviting Jesus. Now, Pastor Marcelo did a good job on the electricity. He got us connected to the power. And we always want the light of Jesus to shine in our house. Amen? So let's turn it on. There we go. So now we lit up the house. As we talk today, and let's look at four points for you. And we're going to talk about a few things and hopefully give you something that stirs you, that makes you want to work on this room. Every living room's different. Different sizes, different locations, different parts of town, different. Maybe you're in an apartment, maybe you're in an RV, maybe you're wherever you're at. It's that space that you live in. God wants to inhabit your living space. Amen? He wants to inhabit your living space. And so today we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 60. And I don't know about you, but I'm declaring this for my family. Now I know, amen, prophecy, we're talking about God's people, we're talking about Israel, we're talking about all these things, but I today want to bring this right down to each of our individual families, and I want to declare this over you. I'm going to declare this for my family. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 22. The smallest family. Now, maybe you're living in the living room alone and you're believing to start a family. You're believing for a spouse. Maybe you're a family of two and you're believing, as on this card I told you, people believing for a baby. They're believing to start the family and we're agreeing and believing with them. And then that family begins to grow. And then as our family, we had two children. And then my children had one child each. They both have little girls, going to be 3 years old this year. And then my daughter found out she was pregnant. And we just found out this week she's pregnant with twin boys. Amy asked, are y'all wearing blue because of the boys? I said, yeah, let's say that. My family's growing. The generations will grow. Our family is growing. Our church family is growing. And so we're declaring this for our church family, for our personal families. He said, the smallest family will become 1,000 people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Wow. Are you believing for your family to grow, to multiply? Amen. Abram left. God said, I'm calling you out of your place, away from your family. And if you will follow me, I will lead you, guide you. I'll direct you. I will take you somewhere. I will make of you a great nation. When it was him alone, when it was just him and his wife Sarah, amen, God spoke and said, look up. You see the stars? I'll make your family like that. You see the sands on the beach? I'll make your family like that. It's amazing. Amen. Maybe you're starting small today. Maybe you already have a family. But I'm telling you, if you will trust God and believe God, and you, amen, will get this room right, God will turn your small family to 1,000 and your tiniest into a great nation. So let's talk about this room. Number one, everybody say number one. Uno. My granddaughter goes to the Spanish immersion school, so she learned Spanish along with English, and she was eating my Skittles. And I gave her some Skittles, and she kept putting a whole bunch in her mouth, and I told her, I said, Uno. And she looked at me in her little, she's almost three, she looked at me and said, Dos. Uno. Hey, did y'all hear about the Mexican magician? Yeah, he told everybody in the crowd, he said, I'm going to do a trick. I'm going to disappear on the count of three. He counted one, two, disappeared without a trace. You get that on your way home. Look around, ask your Spanish friend. They'll explain it to you. Number one, the living room is a place where everyone gathers. This is the hub. You know what a hub is? The hub is it's the center. This is a gathering place. It promotes connection and togetherness. You know, the living room, it's where we spend most of our time. Now, we visit the bedroom and sleep. We visit the bathroom. We visit the kitchen multiple times. But where do we come back to? We live most of our time, we spend our time in this central room, this living room. It's where a lot of things happen that we're going to talk about, and it promotes connection. This is where that you dream. This is where you communicate. It's where you talk. It's where your entertainment happens. It's where family time and all the things we're going to talk about in a moment. But it is a gathering place for everyone. Everybody that comes to my house gets to come to the living room. Everybody don't get to go to my bedroom. Lots of times I shut my door because that's a private place. Everybody don't get to go to the kitchen. Everybody don't get to go to my garage for sure because that's a mess. You have any rooms in your house where you close the door off when the guests come? Yeah. But the living room is where everybody gathers. It's usually, not all the time, but sometimes it's right off the front door. When you had people knock on your door and you invite them in, a lot of times they come into that family room. Now, we have two. We have that formal one, which my wife calls the pretty room, which I'm only allowed in after I've showered and changed clothes. And I don't get to go in the pretty room very often. Only when we have guests am I allowed to go in the pretty room and sit in the pretty chair with the pretty pillows. But we have the other family room where the TV is and where my recliner is, where my remote sits, where I'm the king when my wife lets me. It's a gathering place. It's the place that promotes connection. It's the place that we're together. It's the place where we invite people to come in. And it's the place to where you declare over your family, you begin to give them their purpose in life. A lot of things happen in this room. We'll talk about some more in a minute. But this is where you begin to declare over your family, you declare over your wife, you declare over your children what they're going to be. Fathers, when's the last time you prophesied over your kids? When's the last time that you declared, thus saith the Lord? When is the time that you begin to declare over them, you're the head and not the tail? Amen, you're beyond and not below. Amen, you're great. You're going to do great things. When's the last time? Listen, we can spend a lot of time getting on to them and discouraging them and telling them what they can't do. Amen, but from the living room, you need to begin to prophesy over your children and tell them what they can be. It was Jacob that called all of his sons together in that gathering room, and he declared over them, he said, gather around me and I will tell you what will happen to each of you in the days to come. I declare over my children, you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be fruitful. Amen. God is going to bless you. You're going to know Him. You're going to love Him. You begin to declare that over them when you hold them in your arms. You begin to declare that over them when they're in their mother's belly. You begin to say what God says about them in that family room. God said, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They're plans for good and not evil, to give you hope and an expected end. It's here in this family room that you begin to declare destiny for your family. Listen, it's not just in the bedroom. In the bedroom, there's privacy, there's secrecy. That's where they go when they get in trouble. Go to your room. Your mom and daddy ever tell you to go to your room? I'll be there in a minute. Oh, and you went to your room and you sat on the bed and you just anticipated. I know what's coming. Woo, mama's coming with the belt. I didn't get a whole lot of spankings in the family room in front of everybody. Now, I did at church sometimes in front of everybody. Mama said, you act a fool in front of everybody, I'll whip you in front of everybody. It was a different time. My mama would line me and all my friends up in the church, whip every one of us. You know, you just can't whip other people's kids nowadays. I wish you could, because there's some I would love to wear out. My grandbaby was throwing a fit, and my wife said, you get her. I said, no. She said, why? I said, because I'm going to go pick her up, and she's going to throw a fit and start kicking and screaming, and when she does, I'm going to have to spank her, and I don't want to spank her. So I made her do it. See, I have this little paddle called a pop-pop, and I've threatened with it, but I've never used it yet. They don't even know what it is yet. But I said at some point in their life, I'm going to have to use it. And when I do, it's going to be meaningful, and they're going to feel it. And then the next time I say, you want pop-pop, they're going to go, no, I'm going to straighten up. But I'm not ready to use it yet. That's Papa in me. Isn't it amazing how you treat your grandchildren different than your children? Yeah, wow. We got to move on. That's not even in the notes. We'll get there. We'll get there later. We'll get there in the kids' room. So the delivery is a place of connection. It's a place of gathering. Number two, it's the hub for daily life. Everybody say the hub. It's the center of activity. A lot of stuff. Everything happens. I remember my children. I remember my son. Amy's in the kitchen. We lived right here next door. And she's in the kitchen. Jacob's about 2 years old. She was in there cooking. Three. and she was cooking supper. Supper is ready. She says, come and eat. Me and Jacob's playing football. I throw the ball. He catches it. He comes running at me. And, you know, and I'm going to tie him. We've been tackling and everything. But this time he comes running and I jump to the side. And he goes past and falls. And I hear this snap. His first broke arm. Daddy did it. Oh, I felt terrible. Supper had to wait. Off to the hospital we went. I'll never forget, they brought out all the colors. We said, please hide the pink. Pink was his favorite color. Hide the pink. We didn't want him to have a pink cast. He picked purple. Because he liked Barney. But that happened in the family room. Our children learned. They usually learn to walk in the family room around the coffee table. You know the coffee table? Y'all have a coffee table? You put any coffee on it? Ta-da! Coffee table. Hey, check this out. Our rug for our living room, Miss Pandora made. She knitted that. Is that not special? Oh, looky there. So we're going to put our rug right in the center. That's our area rug right there. And let's go ahead and put our coffee table right there in the center. And man, how many of your kids learn to walk around the coffee table? They pull up on it, and then they start going around. And then pretty soon, they go from the coffee table to the couch. Next thing you know, they're walking. Oh, man, that's where so many good conversations. Homework is done so much times around at that coffee table. Your children sitting there watching TV, doing their homework. Now, used to, I had to be in my room quiet. Now, they watch TV. They listen to music. They talk on the, they text and everything while doing it. They're multi-talented, this generation. My generation, man, that was one-track mind. It's where conversations, it's where we talk about what you do. It's where daddy comes home from work and plops down in his easy chair. I got an easy chair? Ah. Everybody needs an easy chair. Now, y'all can't tell it. This one don't, but mine reclines. Let's put that right there. Oh, man, I just love to come home after a hard day's work, plop down in that chair, prop your feet up, get you a good glass of sweet tea. Listen, it's where you sit back and you observe your family. I love as to come home in the evening and mama's cooking and you can smell the smell and the kids are playing. Sometimes it gets loud and rowdy in there. It's fun just to sit back and watch all the chaos. Because at your throne, at your kingdom. Man, your living room is where your family grows. It's where they're being taught. It's where you talk about what happened today. What did you learn today? Now, if your kids are like mine, every day, what did you learn today? Nothing. Surely you learned something. It's where kids learn to dream. It's where that you impart vision to your children. It's the hub. It's the center of activity. Well, we should give mama a chair too, shouldn't we? Yeah, let's don't make mama have to stand up all the time. Let's go ahead and put mama's chair over there. You got to have a place to relax. Number three, it's a flexible space. Listen, your home needs to have rules. Listen, you need to know as the father, you're the priest of your household. Listen, you need to be the one that prays over your family. You need to be the one that brings your children to church. You need to be the one, amen, that does the correction and the discipline. Don't be like me with the grandbaby and make Mamie do it. Don't make mama do all the spanking and the correcting and the corralling. Listen, come on, you can do your part. Come on, you can change dirty diapers. Yeah, I was sitting out in the car while Amy and Haley were in the doctor, and We sat out there and took a nap, and we sat out there about 2 hours. We took a nap, and then we played, and then I began to smell something. So like a good papa I am, I waited till her mama got back, and I said, I think she needs changing. Now, when I'm babysitting alone, I can change a dirty diaper if I have to. You've got to have rules. You've got to realize that you're the father of the home. You're the provider. You're the one that... But you can't be mean all the time. Everything can't be no just for no's sake. And children get to a point to where because I said so is not good enough. You've got to begin. They're learning. Everything they're touching, everything they're looking at, everything, they're learning. And if you just say no, 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 they know no, but they don't know why. You need to begin to tell your children why. Kids are smarter than you think. They understand what's going on. And you begin to talk to them and tell them, don't touch that because it's hot. Hot burns. And guess what? Sooner or later, what do? Touch it. And then they go, ah, I get what Daddy was saying. Hot, hurt, ow, don't touch. And as they get older, you explain things in greater terminology and you teach them. Don't just yell at them and say no and all. You got to learn to teach. This family room is a teaching center. The school's job is not shouldn't do all the teaching. You need to teach them at home. You need to teach them godly principles. You need to teach them the Word of God. You need to read Scripture with them. You need to teach them the Word of God. And they need to see it, not just hear it. They'll do what you do. The little girl, mama was trying to teach the little girl how to be thankful and how to say thank you. And she gave her a glass of milk and she said, what do you say? And the little girl raised it and said, cheers. Kids are watching. We went to a little play area up in Dallas with Mackenzie. And she goes into this little grocery store and she gets the food, puts it in the cart. She rolls right over to the cash register. She gets the food out. She starts punching buttons. She took it, put it across the scanner, and then put it in a basket. Where do you think she learned that? Watching mama at Walmart. Self-check. I mean, the other day I was at Walmart and I was sitting in the break room and they came in and said, hey, you can't be in here. Only employees. I said, I am an employee. I just checked my own groceries out. Now I'm taking a break. I'm tired. It's a place to read and expand their mind. It's a place that you begin to give them direction. Let's go ahead and get some more furniture in here. I'm running out of time and got too much furniture. Oh, let's put what is this called? Chester drawer? What's in? A duvet? I don't know. It's got drawers. It's a sofa. No, this is the sofa table. Oh, this is the buffet. Oh, this is the buffet. Let's put the buffet right there. Hey, I'm going to need the cabinet man to come fix this because the door won't stay shut on the buffet. Did you build that? All right, let's just put that right there. Oh, listen, last week we put the Word of God in there. Listen, you need the Word of God. Come on, the buffet is where you feed, not just food, but His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Come on, let's get God's Word on the sofa table. Come on, let's go ahead and put the couch in. Y'all see the couch matches the chairs. Oh, we got furniture for every room. We're going to deck this house out. Looky there. Okay. Go on and get a close-up. Oh, there it is right there. Y'all see it. Stop trying. My wife is a rearranger. I can't even arrange this right. she's going to fix it. That's the spirit of the house. When we get to Mother's Day, we're going to talk about that. Let mama arrange the house the way she wants to. Come on. I have more. That's the purpose. See, here I got something else. Now, let me tell y'all something that every house needs. Okay? Every house needs a little Jesus. Do you have a little Jesus in your house? Some of you have too little of Jesus. You need to get a bigger Jesus. Could you go ahead and put Jesus in the living room? Did y'all know Jesus is there? Jesus is listening to what you're saying. Jesus is watching what you're watching. Oh, you say, Pastor, we're not watching nothing. We don't have a TV. Ta-da! Everybody knows the entertainment center needs to be the biggest thing in the room. I don't get a TV in the pretty room, but in my room, we got a big TV. Did y'all know I grew up, we didn't have TV. We didn't believe in TV. We believe, pretty much, it'd be a good thing probably not to believe in it anymore. It's trash, but didn't have a TV. We were in high school, and a friend of mine reminded me, Brother Hal Brunt, reminded me, I told him, when I get big, I'm going to have a TV in every room. Yeah, I just about do. The family room is a place of entertainment. It's a place to where we invite guests in. It's a place of hospitality. How hospitable is your house? How welcoming are you in your home? Do your children, have you taught them the spirit of hospitality? Now, Miss Amy says it all the time. She'll say Doris is way more hospitable than her. Doris loves people in the house, has people in the house all the time. Pastor, not so much. He said he's going to come to my house. We laugh about that all the time. But you know what? I don't have as near as much company as they have. But sometimes my family room is packed. Last week we had all of our family, extended family, all the little children running all over the place, playing with stuff, tearing stuff up, leaving stuff a mess. Somebody, Sister Serlea told me this morning, she dreamed, said that I was taking a bunch of trash out. And I said, "Woo! That's exciting." I said, because the Bible said where there's no ox in the stall is clean. And if I was having to take out a lot of trash, it must mean we had a lot of people. I'm willing to take out a lot of trash. I'm willing to clean up the house, amen, so that I have the children. I love to hear the sounds of the children laughing and playing and watching them. And we got pictures of them all on the steps outside, which we have got pictures of that with every generation of those kids. Hospitality in the house. But let's talk about entertainment in the house. Where does the TV go? Okay, I want to make sure I put it the right place. There you go. How's that? Okay, can I see that from my chair? Do y'all see Jesus in my chair? Hey, Jesus, that's my chair. Oh, he's in every chair you sit in. Can I read y'all a scripture? Hey, have I been preaching good? I've been trying to be nice. I've been sweet. We've just been having fun. But can I just talk to you serious a moment? Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 26. Oh, Pastor, that's Old Testament. I know. But I also know that some of the principles and the foundations that God set out for His people still hold true today. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Do not bring any detestable objects into your home, for then you will be destroyed just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction. In this family room, in this entertainment room, in this room that you're teaching your children how to live, how to laugh, how to love, you're teaching them how to serve God and what God loves, and we need to learn what God loves and what God hates. And God loves people, but God still hates sin. And if we're not careful, we always say, when we travel the world, we see idols everywhere. We see people bowing down. We see all these things, and we go, well, we don't have any idols in our home. God said, don't bring any detestable thing into your house. My question is today for you and for me, what are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we putting and allowing into our natural home and our spiritual home? Do you know what the largest industry in America is right now? In the high billions. Pornography. The average age that watch pornography is 11 years old. They're exposed from age 8. The biggest majority that watch porn is between about 12 and 17. And 90% of the kids that are exposed to porn, it's during the time they're doing their homework. Everything now is online. We always say, I would never bring a detestable thing into my house. I would never, you know, watch those things. I'd never do. But if you have the internet, you've got a detestable thing in your house. Now, you choose what you do with it. Did you know you can get in your car and drive any bad place you want to? But you don't have to. You can get on your phone and call any crazy place or look up anything, but you don't have to. So the thing itself is not evil, but it can be used for evil. And there are online predators that are after your children. And all of these programs, they're made, I don't know about you, but on my phone, stuff pops up that I don't need to see. And I didn't go looking for it. It comes in emails, it comes in somewhere that you clicked on that, and that brought up another ad, and that ad had something that I did not look for. I know how to hit delete. But that little 10-year-old, that 12-year-old goes, what's that? And they see things, and they're curious. And God put a natural inclination in us to want to see humans. And we boys like girls, girls like boys. I mean, we there's a curiosity there. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have the internet, if your children have phones and have a tablet, if you don't have a system on there that blocks out all of those websites, you are asking for trouble. Men, if you have a problem, there are websites that you can go and put on your phone that is linked to your wife's phone. And if you look at everything you look at, goes to her phone. Our phones are linked up on my crypto account. Actually, it's in her name. She's the one set it up while I was out of the country to buy some certain crypto. I came home and went nuts. I've been buying up all kind of crypto. And I buy stocks and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, the point is it her email? So we're sitting in the office and she says, why did you buy some more XRP? I said, what? How you know my business? Get out of my business. See, my business is her business. If you need some accountability, put that on your phone and you look at it and you go, is it worth it? Is it really worth clicking on that and then I got to face her? Maybe not. But see, if you don't have those safeguards, if your children don't have those safeguards, they're going to click. They give out their email willingly. They give out their website willingly. They can go to anything. And I'm telling you, you're in for trouble. You're building. When I was a kid, if we saw anything like that, it was accidentally. You maybe found a piece of a magazine blowing in the road. And I can remember those things. But now, every child has access to the biggest industry in the world, and they're preying on our children. So, it's enough about that. If you need help, talk to us. We can pray with you. We want you to walk in freedom. We're going to talk about freedom in the house from addictions and things. But listen, protect your children. So don't bring any detestable thing in your house. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what those little ears are hearing. Listen, you're watching scary movies. You're watching horror movies. And then you wonder why your kids can't sleep at night. Why they wake up with bad dreams and nightmares. I had a nightmare the other night. Do y'all know what a preacher nightmare is? I'll tell you. I woke up in a cold sweat. I mean, it's worse than seeing the devil himself. I dreamed I was preaching over at Rose Heights. And packed house, thousands of people. And it got time to got my time, but I needed to go to the restroom. So I asked, where's the restroom? So I ran to the restroom and I came back, and then they were been waiting on me. And then I had to go on the stage and get my microphone. And then I was so flustered, I couldn't, and I was just I was having a terrible time. It was going awful. And then hundreds of people just started getting up and walking out. I woke up. Oh, that was a horrible dream. It was a nightmare. It's a preacher nightmare. But you know what? Children, we wonder why they have anxiety. We wonder why that they're afraid. We wonder why. You don't realize they're watching what you're watching. You say, oh no, they're just doing their homework. They're listening. They hear everything going on. They hear every bad word. Where did you learn that? Well, they learned it probably either from you or something you were listening to or watching. Just remember this in the living room. What you do in moderation in the living room, your children will do in excess. Let me say that again. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So you know what I want to do? You see, every morning I sit in that chair and I read my Bible. I read my books that were in college class. I read my books. I read my Bible. I start my day in His Word. Start my day praying, waiting on Pastor to come pick me up to go to the gym. Hallelujah. Which is not very often for me. Let's close this up. Hey, is that okay? Have I been hard enough on you? Gave you a little spanking. Now I'm going to be like you, like that. I'm going to hug you and love on you. And tell you, number four, the living room is a place of comfort. It's a place your children, when they're playing in the other part of the house and they get hurt, they come running to. It's when your daughter comes in with a broken heart and you sit on the couch beside her and cry. It's when your son... It's when your son is a teenager and gets caught with his friend out drinking alcohol and you take his car away from him and make him sit in the living room with you and mama for a while. Oh, Pastor, your boy? Oh, yeah. My kids were kids too. Yeah. Kids are kids. Kids make mistakes. Kids try stuff. And you know what we do? We bring them in the living room and we comfort them. We love on them. We correct them. Who do you think it was harder on taking his car away? Him or me? I had to take him to school. I had to pick him up. I had to take... Well, Mama did. Anyway. And the thing was, he was with Johnny and Jill's son. Oh, I throw him under the bus too. There were cousins with some other church kids. Woo! Them church kids are not perfect. But guess what? We love them. Your children are going to make mistakes. And you know what we do? We bring them in the living room. We love on them. We pray with them. We encourage them. We discipline. And then we love on them some more. And we get them through it. And we teach them right from wrong. It's a place of comfort. It's a place, it's the heart of the feeling of the home. And it's where everyone has a sense of belonging. The family room should be a safe place. You see, at night, I lock all my outside doors. I turn all the lights out in the rest of the house. Me and Mama sit in the living room. I have my recliner. She has hers. Now, they're side by side. The chairs touch. And we do too. We hold hands. See, we used to have a double recliner when we were young. Now we're getting old. We want our own, but we still want to touch. You still want to touch? Oh, I got a question for you when we get to the bedroom. Husbands, I'll go ahead and ask you. You be thinking on it. Give me the answer whenever we do that room. What do you touch more, your wife or your phone? Well, there we go. Whoop, there it is. I said it. We're going to talk about it. You know all the buttons to push on the phone. What's wrong with you? You better learn some buttons, boy. Oh, that's for the other room. Sorry. What kind of buttons? On and off. You've been mashing the wrong one. The family room. Number one, come on. It's a good place. It's a family place. It's a place to gather. It's a place to show hospitality. It's a place to learn. It's a place to guide, to direct. It's a place to laugh, a place to cry. It's a place to teach. It's a place to relax. It's a place to entertain, a place of hospitality. I want my living room to be blessed. I want my family to go from small to great. I want my children to be blessed, and I want my children's children to be blessed. After I'm long gone, I want their family room to be blessed because of my family room. I want them to learn that in this room they don't get hollered at or yelled at or told they're stupid. They get told how much they're loved and that they can do anything and be anybody. Help us do better in this living room. Let's make that the central part. Men, let's be the head of our home and lead with love and strength. Let's show how to love a wife. Let's show how to love a mama. Let them follow example. Father, I thank you today for the living room. I thank you today that this is a place where we gather. Lord, this is our living room of our church. Lord, we have the kitchen, we have the bathroom, we have the fellowship hall, we have all that. But Lord, this is where we gather every week to love, to laugh, to learn. And I pray, Lord, here in our church living room or our home living room, let it be blessed. Let me be the head of that home. Let me learn to speak love and speak straight, but with compassion. Help me be the leader. Help me put your word first, and help me to always have Jesus in that living room. Jesus is watching and listening because he's in me. Help me make right choices. I thank you, Father, today. Whatever trouble's going on in this living room in people's homes, I ask you today to supernaturally speak life to it. where there's trouble and turmoil, where there's division and separation, whether there's fear and anxiety, where there's betrayal and mistrust and hurt. Father, I thank you for healing those broken hearts. I speak life today in every living room of every home. I pray today that they'll go home and they'll get rid of any detestable thing in that house. Any detestable thing. I thank you that they're going to begin to put safeguards for their children on every device. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to set perimeters and guidelines. And Lord, if they're in there alone or with a spouse or with a house full of kids, I pray that you would bless every living room in this house. I speak favor. I speak healing. I speak hope. I speak restoration into every living room in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Would you say, Jesus?